Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain and have Sean in studio. This is a show about what matters most in our life, our mind, our thoughts, our feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. So in this show, I'll bring you the latest research about sexist men underestimating their power in romantic relationships, and their concern for losing power to women can lead to more aggression. Then I will speak to Ilum King, the author of Understanding a Man, Empowering Women with Tools for Lasting Relationships. I'm excited about this interview. So I hope you get excited too, because we all think that women are hard to understand and then men are easy to understand. But Ilum is going to tell us exactly what men want. Be sure to listen to my podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Share it with your friends. And email me and let me know what are some of the topics that you want me to talk about, and call the studio line. Let me know. Share with me who you are and what you want, so we could start bringing you the topics that are most exciting to you. We'll be right back with the tip of the week.
Hello, this is Dr. Fujian Zain. For all of you who are interested in changing something in your life, or shifting a new career, or bettering your intimate relationship, or, you know, it's just time to take care of you, but you really don't have time to take off from your busy day, or you're just too far away from my Beverly Hills or San Clemente office, I have a great offer for you. I'm only offering this time-limited package to you for online therapy, if you are living in the state of California, or online coaching wherever you live around the world. Now listen, a 10-week package with a $500 discount. Call me to schedule your appointment, 818-648-2140, 818-648-2140, or go to Fujian.com, F-O-O-J-A-N.com for more information. It's time to take care of you because you are worth it.
So this week, first of all, I hope that 2020 has started well for you. I've been really witnessing many conversations, many expressions of emotions recently regarding peace and war and who's right and who's wrong. I think that whomever has come to my office, or my friends, my family members, everyone who I've come to meeting this week, because of the news that is constantly going on, are finding themselves to have a lot of intense emotions and intense opinions. So at the same time, I've been also reading the book Don't Label Me by Irshad Manji, which it has brought up many interesting conversations around how we listen to others and how we label and categorize naturally and effortlessly in our mind. So every information we get first gets categorized in our mind, and then through that lens, we listen to the rest of the information. The way that we categorize lends itself to the way that we listen and speak to others. I'm positive that after seeing or hearing about the daily news, there will be for sure some sentiments, thoughts, beliefs, and comments that show up for you. How you hold on to those thoughts and feelings and how you choose to express them makes a big difference in creating closeness, openness, and expansion versus creating separateness, righteousness, and kind of staying limited. So observe how you do the same things and categorizing and then, you know, formulating opinions and all of that. In your family life, with any types of issues, whether it's it is what is necessary for the house or child rearing, parenting, financial management, hygiene, taking vacations, how to dress or how to conduct life. How do you listen with the intention of seeing your partner, your family member, children, friends, neighbors' point of view? Do you listen and honoring who they are as if they are actually important? Or do you listen with the intention of interrupting them to share what you need to say, since it is more important and it's the right way? Do you listen in a way to expand your horizons and learn from others? Or you prefer to preach to others what the right path is? Do you get excited about viewing others as different so that you can learn from them? Or you get threatened by the differences and only want to focus on the similarities and avoid the differences? I even remember, as we were talking about this book, some people were like, I didn't even read after the first chapter because I didn't like what she was saying. Or when, you know, we're watching TV and the news and it's like, shut that down. I don't even want to hear it because I just don't like what the other person says. Or I went to work and so-and-so said something about the administration or something that I didn't like. And I just said, that's it. I'm never going to talk to that person again. They're done. I'm done with their life. So this is how we categorize and then extremely make a gesture about it. So unless you live in a very small village far away from any civilization and don't necessarily have contact with the rest of the world, you will be facing diversity in many aspects around you. You choose how you deal with this diversity. It ain't going away. It's not. Diversity of culture, diversity of race, diversity of beliefs, diversity of ideas, diversity of actions and approaches are part of the daily living. If you resist acceptance and learning and cooperation and assimilation, it will only create more suffering and war within you and with people around you. So I suggest being committed to peace regardless of what shows up. Learn, negotiate, and co-create with all that there is. Please start with your relationships with you and the dualities within yourself. Listen to yourself first. Listen to all parts of you first. And then with all the relationships around you. So, and today you're going to see that because we're going to even talk about the major diversity between women and men and what we think about men and, you know, what men think about women or women think about men and how much even that stance is different. And it will be really harsh if you're not going to accept the other side, right? So wishing you a peaceful day and a life, right? We'll be right back with the latest research.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
So here is the latest research. Heterosexual men with sexist attitudes may underestimate how much power they actually have in their romantic relationships, which could lead to increased aggression toward their female partners or wives, according to a research published by the American Psychological Association. Aggressive behavior can have disastrous consequences on a relationship because the female partner is more likely to withdraw, openly share her dissatisfaction, and become less committed. This can reinforce a commonly held stereotype among men with sexist beliefs that women are not trustworthy. It's a vicious cycle. Researchers examine what is known as hostile sexism, or the belief that women want to control men. In romantic relationships, because the power dynamic is different from the workplace or other areas of life. Power dynamics are not simple in intimate relationships because even in well-functioning relationships, both partners are inescapably dependent on each other. This mutual dependence constrains the individual's power. This can be very difficult for men who have sexist views because they're already concerned about losing power to women, and they may lash out at their significant other in harmful ways. The study was published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. Researchers focused on how hostile sexism shapes power dynamics in relationships and how men and women experience those dynamics. The study included 1,096 heterosexual men and women across four experiments. Participants were all in committed relationships. 590 of them were couples in each experiment. The men and women completed surveys about their daily interactions that assessed sexist attitude, perceptions of autonomy, aggression, the influence of their partners, behavior or opinions, relationship satisfaction, and security. One experiment included a video recorded conversation with couples about their most serious conflict. Another focused exclusively on newlyweds and another on parents. Though each experiment was slightly different, the results were the same across the board. Men who show more hostile sexist views felt they had less power in their relationships, while their significant others thought otherwise. And those men were more aggressive toward their partners by being critical or unpleasant. Researchers believe the reason for this behavior was because the men were trying to restore the perceived power imbalance, not because they wanted more dominance over their partners. The study also examined women with hostile sexist views, or the belief that men are better suited for powerful positions in society and that women should support men's power. They found that these women had less desire for power in their relationships. Sexism persists, even in highly egalitarian societies, and arises from a traditional gender role structure that socializes people to think that men and women are different. Though the study authors purposely focused on people in romantic relationships and couples, they believe that these results can be helpful in other areas, such as the workplace where sexism can be rampant. A great place to start reducing sexist attitudes is in intimate relationships, because that is when we are at our most vulnerable and we are motivated to help and nurture our partner. If we can lessen the fear some men have about losing their power to their partners, then we can reduce aggressive behaviors and ultimately diminish the power struggles that uphold gender inequality. So, based on all of those conversations that we've had, I am so glad that we have Ilam B. King, who's a New Jersey native and is a profound author, relationship coach, and an exhilarating speaker. After receiving his Bachelor's of Science in Marketing from Hampton University, he went on to receive his MBA in the Project Management and MBA in Marketing from the American Intercontinental University. Ilam released a manual in November 2017 entitled Understanding a Man, Empowering Women with Tools for Lasting Relationships. He interviewed 24 men about various topics that are important in dating, marriage, sex, and spirituality. Whether married, single, or divorced, the 15 chapters in this manual will provide a comprehensive understanding of how men think in romantic relationships to women. Ilam travels worldwide and empowering women with these tools from this amazing manual. His motto is, women are the coaches of every intimate relationship with men. The stronger the coach, the better the team. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Ilam King.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zane. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, the awareness path to create the life you want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Fujian Zane. For all of you who are interested in changing something in your life, or shifting a new career, or bettering your intimate relationship, or, you know, it's just time to take care of you. But you really don't have time to take off from your busy day, or you're just too far away from my Beverly Hills or San Clemente office. I have a great offer for you. I'm only offering this time-limited package to you for online therapy if you are living in the state of California, or online coaching wherever you live around the world. Now listen, a 10-week package with a $500 discount. Call me to schedule your appointment, 818-648-2140, 818-648-2140, or go to Fujian.com, F-O-O-J-A-N.com, for more information. It's time to take care of you, because you are worth it.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zane, and I'm very excited to have Ilum King, the author of Understanding a Man, with us. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Yeah. Thank you. It's interesting, as I was reading your book, Ilum, it was interesting for me that as a therapist, who I work a lot with men, every single chapter felt like, yay, yes, exactly. But then as a female, as I was reading it, some of the chapters were like, yeah, of course. And some of them, my feathers were getting really, really uproared. And so, you know, I think it will be a great conversation to have. So you start, first of all, what got you to actually write the book? And I know you call it a manual. So how come you call it a manual instead of the book? And what got you to do this?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you, Doctor, for even having me on this platform. So I'm super excited to speak with you. I know it's been, you know, a little while coming to always get a chance to speak. So thank you so much for even having me.
Sure.
Well, I think at the time, so this was 2015. I was at a woman's conference, and it was called I forgot the name of the conference, but it was for women. All right. So my wife was invited there. So I was asked, not even thinking, yeah. Nothing.
Ilum, you know what? I want to understand you, and I want our audience to understand you. The voice is coming out so choppy. Why don't we do this? Why don't we have you call the studio line so we could definitely hear you better? Because at this point, for something with the technology is going back and forth. So everyone, give us a couple of minutes. We'll be right back with Ilum coming to us through the phone line. So this way, you could hear us better. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zain. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it.
Well, thank you so much for all of you for putting up with us with all the technology glitches of going back and forth. But we got it. We got it. And we're back with Ilum King. So you were talking about going into a conference which was about women.
Yes.
And tell us more.
Yeah, so it was a conference, it was for women, and the lady who was having it is a lifelong friend of mine. She actually used to work for me. So then she ended up moving into the relationship space, and so she said, okay, well, Ilum, you know, I like some of the things you say periodically. You know, you're good with giving advice. Come to this men's panel. So it was all men's panel, four of us were married and one was divorced, all right? And so we only had one segment of the whole weekend. So the whole weekend was for my wife. I'm chilling in the resort, having fun. And so the name of that segment was called Understanding the Mind of a Man. Now, keep in mind, this was between 1 and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we had just eaten all the carbs and everything that can put you to sleep, right? And I say all that to say that, so here we are in a room now with about 100 women. The mean age is about 45. And for that entire hour, they were asking us questions, and we were answering. And so I looked around the room at the end of that hour. They were begging for more. They wanted us to stay on, and we had to move on to the next segment. And I honestly looked around the room, and I said, wow, so the mean age in here is about 45, and it doesn't sound like you guys understand this very well. I said this in my head. Mm-hmm. And then while I was there as well, I ran into a book coach. So it happens to be, right, universal aligning. There was a book coach who was one of the vendors. My wife grabs her phone number, and, you know, I guess a year and a half later, I had this manual. And the reason why that I call it a manual is a book normally goes in chronological order. You know, 2 is contingent upon 1, 5 is contingent upon 1, 2, 3, and 4. Well, if you notice, if you open up the book, you can open up to any chapter, and that's not contingent upon what was previously said. It only helps because it's the same 24 men. Well, other than that, you know, each chapter is independent.
Exactly. So we're going to, obviously, we're not going to go through all the chapters because I want you guys to go buy it. But I thought it was very important to talk about some of the key factors that are in your manual. So first of all, you talk about check your expectations. Are they really realistic? And I love the sentence that you put in. If you want a great man, go be a great woman and use an 80-20 rule and choose your 80% wisely. So you talk about the expectations that you have heard, and many of them have a lot of different types of dualities in them. And I was reading this and I'm like, yes, exactly. This is exactly what I experience with my clients, the female clients, when they come to the session and they're, you know, upon the concept of dating. And you could hear this type of dualities that they kind of like want it all. This is something that I always said between the modern women and modern men. It's like, oh, I want all the best of the old stuff, that, you know, the traditional stuff, but I also want the good stuff of now. Now, can you package those together for me and just bring them to me? And I'm like, well, basically, yeah, I hope, but that doesn't happen.
I like to call it, people want to dance, but they don't want to know what the music is. Yeah. And so that, you know, you want to get out there and have fun, but you know how the music was really produced, all that, and the intricacies of a relationship. I think that as we were growing up, of course, we all had health class in middle school, right? And it taught us about the sperm and the egg, and you know, man and woman, and even a woman's cycle or having a baby and stuff like that, and kept it, you know, PG, maybe PG-13, but we were learning about reproduction, right? And you know, boy meets girl, but the interesting part is that they missed some stuff of how can we actually coexist, how can we collaborate, and giving us some of those intricate pieces. And so, one of the pieces of fuel for me in this is because my wife didn't have her father in her life. So when we got married, and my parents have been married now 49 years, and so when we got married, there were a lot of things that I saw that she didn't know simply because her father wasn't in her life. So that's the reason why that I wanted to share with women some of the basics that they don't even, you know, they might not understand exactly how we think. And don't get me wrong, men don't make it easy because we don't communicate the way we should.
Right. You also talked about this chapter got my feathered uproar a bit. So I'm just going to tell you, share with you. It's like you talked about the being interdependent versus, completely independent. And very great advice, Doc. Do not emasculate your men, of course. And help your man give birth to his ideas and watch your home home life flourish. And I want you to talk about the distinct differences between the independence versus dependence and interdependence. But the part that uproared my feather had to do with the assumption or your, let's say, presentation of the man is the CEO of the family. Mm-hmm. And he's the leader of the family. And the women, no matter what, that they're going to be bosses or independent women out there, that ultimately when they come home, they need to unify under one leader. But somehow the chapter also alluded that obviously the leader needs to be the man and he should be the CEO. Again, this is one of those things that as a therapist who works with a lot of men, I get this wish. I really get it that this is the wish and it's almost like that's what it should be. And sometimes when I say, well, doesn't this come from a very much of a patriarchal system? And then they no, I'm not a patriarch. I'm not a sexist. I'm not this. But I also sense like there's a given concept of, but of course the man should be the CEO and the leader. And but of course that the woman can go out and, you know, utilize their masculine side in their businesses and all of that. But when they come home, they need to reshift this power position and that the man needs to be the CEO and the leader and the woman can come in and be the feminine unifying under one leader. Did I read that right or was I completely wrong?
The structure of what you're saying is correct. I only think the caveat that I want to put to that is that when you're looking at it a lot of times from a patriarchal positioning, it's as if, you know, woman, submissive, shut up and stay home, and, you know, we're, you know, just going to, you know, run around and do whatever we want to in the house, and that's really not what it is. It's more of an understanding of every single organization. If you think about any organization in this world, church, jobs, corporate America, or even if you're an entrepreneur, there is a structure that exists. School, there's a structure that exists. Government, so everything that's successful, everything that can move forward, there's a structure that exists. And so with that being said, that the understanding there is that, you know, even though the man, and I always say this, you know, when it comes to a home, okay, the man might be designated as the leader in the home or the CEO, if you will, but anybody, A, that's ever done leadership will know that just because you're the CEO, that doesn't make you the smartest, it doesn't make you the fastest, best, or whatever case may be. A lot of times it might be somebody that's, in a different position that actually makes the decisions, but you're just the person that speaks it. So, you know, there is the part that I want to be understood there is that that's the structure that exists, but I always say that a woman is way more powerful in the home than a man is when you're looking at, husband and wife and children, you know, coexisting under one roof. So
yes.
Even with the CEO, the VP is more powerful than the CEO in this case.
One thing that shows up for me, though, and I want you to tell me what your experience is, not only as the man, but also speaking a lot right now about men to them. I think that when we talked about the men bringing the bacon and the most of the money, or the higher income, I think that kind of like fell into the conversation much easier. You know, the path was like, it's given that happens. I think some issues have gotten created more where both are professionals and they're both making equal money and equal power, or that there are some marriages at some time during the marriage or overall the structure is that way, that the women are earning higher level of income.
Absolutely.
Or there are more, you know, in a professional stance. And I think this is some place that has become one of those issues that who becomes the CEO? Is it that the structure has to always be that, or is it that it's a wishful thinking that it says that in order for men to operate from the sense of the ego of the men and feel good about themselves, that we've got to uphold that structure of the man being the leader and the CEO of the relationship all the time, regardless of other, other matters that have changed in the society?
Well, let's say this. Number one, this is not based upon income. And that's probably the portion of the, man, woman, child, man makes money, woman stays home, and kids do whatever, right? So that concept, obviously, after World War II had to shift because women started stepping into the workplace a lot more. Fantastic, wonderful, great. But let's understand that what works in corporate America doesn't always work in your home. And so what's the best way to put this? You have that masculine energy that is more promoted in order for you to maintain yourself out there in that world. You know, don't cry like a girl, don't act like a girl. You know, these are things that whether you're boy or girl, you've been told that from day one. So being a woman seems weak in corporate America, you know. And so that energy then has now shifted into the home, whereas it's kind of like that masculine energy. If you're bringing that towards a heterosexual man, he's looking for feminine energy from her. And the word woman doesn't represent weakness. It represents strength by itself. I don't know why people say the word strong woman. I've never heard my mother say that, ever. I never heard her say, I'm a strong, independent woman. She was a woman, period. And guess this, watch this. I just found out 2 years ago, which means I was 41, that my mother made more than my father our entire life. See what I'm saying? But we never knew that growing up. You know, we knew mom, dad, and mom was making more money. And my father was an entrepreneur. My mom was a school teacher. And so she just told us that 2 years ago. She was like, I've always made more than your dad. I just never told you guys because I didn't feel like it was necessary. He's still the man. I'm the woman. I know I'm running this house, but I'm not going to walk around saying it. A woman has the ability to allow a man to actually run the home. I mean, excuse me, she has the ability to run the home without saying it all the time. And I think that a lot of that, what's shifted more towards the independent versus interdependent, is let's collaborate, let's work together. You have your role over here, I have my role over here. I always like to give the example of, you know, for the women that say, well, I make more money and I should run the house, whatever the case may be. I'm like, okay, well, it's interesting when people want to jump into their roles because if your glass breaks at 3 o'clock in the morning, meaning that there's a robber downstairs and you guys are upstairs in the bed, who's going to go downstairs and get and figure out who's downstairs? Is it going to be the man or the woman?
So some of the things that I'm hearing from you is that when there is a role that the women also prefer the men to carry that role, such as you also talked about it, like chivalry roles of, you know, opening, you know, the gentleman role of opening the door and, you know, first serving them and asking. So it's like, well, if us women really like to be treated that way, then part of that treatment is it all comes with the role. So within that role, if a man needs to be a king, then we need to treat him as a king, and then we can be the treatment of, we can get treated like a queen because that it would be our role. So
I could not have said it any better. It's like each role has pluses and minuses. We might be the head of the household, but guess who's the first person that has to put their life on the line?
Got it.
You see what I'm saying? Okay. So, the same things that, see, when we're opening doors and when we're showing that level of chivalry to you, what we're doing is we're respecting your femininity. Hey, I know you can get that door, but I got it for you. Hey, I know you can get that chair. I know you can get this meal, but I'll pay for it. You know, Valentine's Day is coming around the corner. Guess what? That's a woman's holiday. It's not for the man, okay? You know, so there's benefits that come with, you know, I guess being a woman, you know? And with that, that might mean that, okay, well, inside of the household, you have the CEO and you're the VP and you can still run the whole show. You're just not listed as the CEO. Does that make sense? I mean, really, it can run quite fluid if you're learning and understanding that you have to respect the challenges and or the, you know, hey, or the benefits with being either role.
Well, I guess what I'm hearing more than that is there are roles that have been set up, and those roles have been also set up with some sort of, you know, societal or biological or cultural concept. And right. because people have been raised within those, then obviously the expectation has still acquired to be that. And more, you know, a bigger percentage of the men around the world and women around the world are still following the same concept, although some stuff have shifted. But there's still, what I say usually is, like, we want to be this modern group, but inside of us, we still, each one of us secretly wish for the benefits of the old roles. And one thing that I'm hearing that I read this book was like, yeah, the roles are just up out there and saying, here's the role, this is what prefer, and that's what works for us. And if you want to be with a man, you got to know what works for them. And this is what works. So the role of being a king who honors their queen is something that works for men. And if you want to marry them and be with your man through a lifetime, you need to know what makes them king.
I agree.
Yeah. So the third one is ask about body enhancement. Does your man really care about the things you do to your body? And that be your natural self, and that's what they really love. So talk about that, because I totally get that.
Yeah, I think that's, is that chapter 3 or chapter 4? I can't forget it. But that chapter
three.
Is probably one of the most controversial, but yeah, we didn't tell you to do all that. And so Chapter 3 will save you some money. Only thing I'm saying is, ladies, listen. I know what you think they say. And let me just say this. These are 24 men that, the questions were asked, and I actually asked more men than the 24 that were involved in there. But as they were speaking, I said, what are the things that you would want your daughter to know, right? And so one of them was, it started talking about women's fake things on women. This is probably one of the top three questions that the guys came up with, topics. And so that we were basically saying, hey, listen, we're visual creatures. We will look. But that's not who we're always going to bring home to mama. We want the natural. You know, we want that. And so that doesn't mean we won't look. That's something that, and this is barring any biological needs. You know, sometimes there are certain enhancements that need to be made to a woman's body or a man as well. That's necessary because if there was an illness, you know. But we're just saying that everything's working fine, and then you just want to throw something on top of it, butt pads and butt shots. I mean, we don't want that. I mean, and the contradiction that it is that a woman hates when, you know, men lie all the time. Okay, you are presenting to the world somebody who you really are not. When you might do the different things it's different if we're going to a ball or a gathering or whatever, but what the men were saying is, listen, it's different if we're going to hang out, you know, every blue moon, but if this is your daily get up, if you have to, you know, that's not something that we're telling you that we don't want to do it. That we don't need it. If you want to do it for you, that's fine. So we're just letting you know that it's not a big deal to us.
So I'm going to tell you a secret, since you told us the secret about men. Mm-hmm. We don't do this stuff for men. We do it for other women.
And that's in there. That's in the chapter. One of the men say that. They say they don't really even do it, but we wanted to make sure that you knew that we don't want it. Because there are a lot of women that are just like, no, yes, guys, they want women to have these big old butts and all. And then the guys are saying in here, well, wait a minute. We like to look at it, but, I mean, that's not saying who we're going to marry.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to make it clear.
Yeah. This is a good topic. We're going to get to it. But this was the conversation that showed up for me later or two. So, but before that, you said, identify if he's a boy or a man. What do you say someone is a boy or a man? And you're first, don't try to change him. Determine if this is the someone that you can actually continue to grow with. But there's also this, like, what is a boy or a man that you talk about? Can you define for us?
Absolutely. And I think it was Charles James that gave a great example, or either him or Chris Jackson gave an amazing example in that chapter. And what they said was, you know, when you're just having, and this is in general conversation, you can begin to pull out, you know, what the direction of this male creature, whether it's a boy or a man that you're dealing with. And so, you know, the boys, a lot of times they're, you know, things from the past they're still dwelling on, you know, whether they've been hurt or, you know, whatever case may be, not having the direction that we should have in life. Before we should be even dating you, we should already have direction for our own lives. Having a sense of purpose in the direction of, you know, the talent that God put in you, what direction do you want to go? And also hiding and not letting you know and not letting you in on some of the things that that are necessary to communicate with you so that our relationship can flourish. That's more on the boy side. And let me tell you, particularly that last one, I'm sure you know as well as a therapist, you know, the lack of communication that we have emotionally with ourselves as men, a lot of that is because as boys, we were taught to not communicate, to not express ourselves, to not open up. So that's boyish qualities that we were taught that now as a man inside of a relationship and we're signing up with somebody for forever, you know, like in marriage and things of that nature, I have to open up. Whatever happened to me, you know, earlier on in life, and the great example that was used is it's kind of like as a man, you're almost like a tree with rings. And instead of you keeping me out, I want you to invite you in and say, hey, take a look at these rings. This is who I am. And then that gives you an opportunity of making a decision. Do you want to grab a hold of that tree or not? Because the faster that you're able to understand and I can understand, you know, exactly the type of person I'm dealing with, the faster that you can make an educated decision on whether we're going to do forever or not. And I think that that's important for a woman to understand that and not just look at the teeth or the sex or the, you know, how cute he is or how much money he has. After all that washes away, let's get down to the nitty gritty and understand, you know, you can have a 35, 45, 55-year-old boy. Even though he's paying bills, he's still no direction and the opposite of some of the other pieces that I just expressed.
And is your consideration in a way that if it's a boy, that might not necessarily be like a marriage material, and if you wanted to marry someone that you want to look at the maturity level from that perspective, although they might have a lot of accomplishment?
I would say absolutely, and the reason why, and not we won't even go to accomplishment, so we won't say that, you know, you're an actor and you haven't won a Grammy or a SAG award or an Emmy yet, so you're not there, no. Or, you know, your bank account isn't sitting at XYZ, no. It is when somebody is sharing with you where they are and what, you know, what direction that they're going in, then you as a woman can make a decision on whether or not you want to, you know, assist and help me birth what you know, the direction I'm going in, whether you can take a look at my world and see if you can fit inside of that, whether that means you're waiting for me to get to a certain status or a certain state, whether you, yeah, that's really what it would be. So now you can make that decision on whether or not, okay, I'm still in boy status, and it has nothing to do with age, but let's just look at it as, you know, just because a male reaches 18, he's kind of like a cake that you put in the oven, and, you know, the outside is kind of, you know, got the little crust on there, but when you stick the little toothpick in there, you got all the stuff still on there because it's not done on the inside. And so it takes you a little bit more time. You got to go back in. So you can make the determination of whether I need to go back in the oven or not, and whether you want to wait for me to cook, you know? So I think that that's, you know.
So it's you're talking more about the internal process that someone can have a lot of accomplishment, but mm-hmm. internally they're not done and cooked yet. And those are the types of the principles and a place of knowing, a purposefulness and knowing who they are and where they are, which makes them a king versus the prince. And you're saying that when that person has arrived at that point, it becomes a man. But for women to choose whether they want to, and there's a, you know, goodness or there's a positive and the negative piece of, you know, being with a boy or a man, but then the woman can recognize that and choose it. But the recognition of that is an important factor.
Right. Absolutely. I couldn't have said it. And really the self-worth, if you maximize and value yourself as a woman, you might that allows you to take a look and say, do I want to share this time or this level of patience or, you know, want to assist in the level of direction with this person? And so that, you know, when you've maximized the value of understanding your worth, then you watch who you spend that extra time with.
Right. There are so many other chapters that I want to tell you guys, but because of time, I'm going to jump ahead because I thought this was the other place that it kind of uproared me, and I wanted to make sure that it opened up for me, and maybe you guys, as you go ahead and read the book. When I've worked with men, and also from the concept of psychological aspects, many times we've talked about the concept of the male going when it comes to sexuality or matrimony. Sometimes there's a split, right? And I know that sometimes, you know, on a regular level, they've called it like the Madonna whore syndrome, or that you have women who you would want to have sex with, but like you also said, but you don't take them home. And then the group that you take home or call marriage material or would want to marry are different. And so talk about, you know, there you have a couple of chapters on this. One has the men's thought about and the games that they play around sexuality. And you brought it again, like, you know, a father who wants a father who's a man who goes through an experience as they're growing up through their teenagehood and young adulthood and all of that, and who they are with sexuality, suddenly when they have daughters, it becomes very, very different. So you can see this kind of a duality of, let's say, principles. Like, you know, I have principles that I'm going to uphold when it's the Madonna, my daughter, my wife, my sister, you know, my mother. And then there's all these other women who I have another level of principles for them. And please talk about that.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's a huge contradiction, you know. as a matter of fact, in my some of my frat brothers, we call it, you know, let's just say that one of our friends just had a daughter. They always say, oh, he got the man curse, meaning that you got a daughter because you're now going to get paid back for everything that you went through. And so, you know, on the surface level, there's a selfish level of it, like I can do this and then you can't do this to my daughter. But as I began to develop and look even deeper into this, I actually there is a difference, and it's really more of a protection there. And we can just go with this. Other aspects that we speak about, but I'm just going to go straight to the main one. I want to ask you, you know, ask the audience, you know, what's the reason for a woman's orgasm? Because we know when the man ejaculates, we know what the reason for that is, right? To release the sperm, right? But then what's the reason for a woman's orgasm? Because it has a biological
only
function.
Only pleasure.
Yeah, and that's normally the answer. And so I actually got this from the Discovery Channel and before I did my research back in like 2015. And so this really quickly, ladies, you know, you have two ovaries, right? Okay. Every month you got one egg come out of this one, next month this one, next month this. So if I was to ask a lady right now, you know, hey, which ovary is going to release the egg this month, the left or the right, you don't know which one, right? But however, your body
until
does.
The pain comes.
Hmm?
Until the pain of the cramp comes.
But you don't know, and still, you still don't know where that came from, the left or from the right, right? But your body does, and Mother Nature is so amazing because, you know, obviously we're built for procreation, and everything Mother Nature does to ensure, you know, not only hormones setting off at certain times and feelings and all that stuff is hormonal. And it's Mother Nature's way of saying, get together, have a baby so the babies can keep coming and the world can stay populated, right? So God created us in a manner that what happens is that when a woman has an orgasm, so first of all, it takes time to have an orgasm. It's not something that you're going to have right off the top, ladies, I'm sure you know. Then, so we have to put work in for that. So this is all psychologically going on in your mind. So we're now putting in the work. Then when you have an orgasm, what that does is your uterus is contracting. It feels good to you. What's really happening is it's squeezing the sperm in the direction of the ovary that released the egg that month. So it's making sure the sperm get, because the sperm can go like this, right? It can go in two separate ways, and that's going to split, make it 50% chance. It reduces the chance of it going in the right direction. So Mother Nature's like, no, let's make sure it goes in the right direction so she can get pregnant. What does that do? So when you have an orgasm, ladies, your body begins to literally crave that man because it's saying this person has a higher probability of siring my children. So that's going to make you be attached to him more. So there is a difference of promiscuity that exists amongst women versus men. I didn't make the rules, okay? But psychologically, if your body, see, we release and let go and back up. You receive us. So we're still there after we're gone. We're still there with you. So let's imagine if you continue to leave that deposit with women over and over and over again. Sorry, a call came through and the camera froze. So you're automatically going to become attached to that. So we don't, you know, that for that alone, the average father would not want their girls to become attached to somebody who's a bum or somebody who she's really not going to be with at the end of the day, and just continue to give of her body, thinking that it's for pleasure, when in actuality she's attaching herself. And how many fathers out there have had daughters that attach themselves to somebody who you were like, how? What are you thinking? Like, how could you be with this person? And a lot of that is because there are certain sexual interactions that maybe could have been tabled to give you an opportunity of making the proper decision. Because once that water gets that, you know, it gets a little muddy there, you then begin to make the wrong decisions sometimes of even the person who you're choosing as a life partner. So it's really a more of a protection at the end of the day.
But that's about being a father to a daughter. The other part of the duality is when it comes to a man choosing to say, okay, these are the person who I'm just going to have, sexual experience with, and this there's a person who I actually want to marry. There's a distinction. What is that distinction for the man? Is it different for each man, where they have a different criteria, or is it also like a little bit more common concept?
And I'll speak towards Rod Shipman, who made a statement of, and let me say this, this is not all men. You know, I couldn't interview 3.5 billion men. I just didn't have the time. But we had some men in the book that said, hey, I don't care how many partners that she had. But then you have some other men, and again, this was my opportunity of presenting, this is what some men think of, hey, you know, okay, if she sleeps with as many people as me, I still see her as all those people being with her. So, for example, I think he used, 50. So I think Trey Barnett said, for example, I've slept with 50 women. I'm not saying I'm proud of it or whatever the case would be, but I've done it. Now, if I link up with somebody who slept with 50 women, I'm going to be like, no. First of all, I'm trying to figure out how you're still walking. Those are his exact words, you know? So, and is there a contradiction that exists in there? Is there that dude, like, the professional word would be duality. Yes, there is. This kind of goes back to...
And I got that. And there's a lot more, and we don't have time, and I wish that we could have, and hopefully we'll have you back at one point, but even when it came to the chapter on cheating, I was like, whoa! And we don't have time. Yeah, we need to wrap it up. So thank you so much. I would definitely love to have you back on the show, and we're going to talk about the other part also. And it was a joy to have you. It was interesting to read the book. And I hope that all of you who are out there, go ahead, get the book, and then come back. And when he comes back, call in so we can really, really converse, because these are just the conversions that every guy, girl has every day. Thank you so much, Ilan, for being on my show.
Thank you
for all of you for listening. Create an amazing life.